Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of John chapter 2 to begin with. John chapter number 2, verses 18 to 22. Notice verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the supernatural word of God. We thank you for your truth that you have entrusted to us. Lord, help us to be faithful witnesses for you. Lord, help us to learn something this evening that would revive our desire to tell others about Christ. Especially, Lord, when we meet those who ask a reason of the hope that is in us, Lord, help us to be ready always to have an answer and to share the truth with them. And Lord, we pray you'd help us this evening to learn something we may use for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we continue our apologetic series, looking at answers to different questions people ask, we are looking at the topic of questions about Jesus Christ. Lots of people ask that same old question, don't they? How can you prove that Jesus is God? How can you prove that? Last Wednesday, we looked at a very helpful lesson on this topic. Tonight, we are looking at the answer we can give when we look at the evidence of fulfilled prophecy. The prophecies of Christ prove that he is God. So that's your one and only blank this evening. I've made it easy on you again. So your blank in your notes is the word prophecies. The prophecies of Christ. The prophecies of Christ. Now, as you can see in these passages we've just read, time and time again, the Lord announced what will happen. That he will die, that he will be crucified, and then on the third day he will rise again from the dead. And he foretold his resurrection. He told forth that he would rise again from the dead. In fact, that was the reason, remember, why the Jews came to Pontius Pilate and said, we need to guard this tomb lest the disciples come and steal the body, because Jesus said while he was alive he was going to rise again. Even they knew what he had said, and he had declared that he would rise, and he did. Now, not only did Christ foretell the events of his death and resurrection, but the Bible contains more than 191 specific prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Some of them written over 1,000 years before his earthly birth. Now, the significance of this is that it does prove that Jesus Christ is God. Well, how does prophecy prove that Jesus is God? Well, first of all, only God can tell the future. Amen. You and I don't even know what will happen tomorrow. We might have some idea, but we cannot predict exact details. And if you were to try and predict what would happen in 1 year, 5 years, 1,000 years, it would be impossible. Wouldn't you agree? And we don't even know what will happen tomorrow exactly. And yet the Bible tells us prophecies that can be tested, that can be proven, and when examined carefully, are found to be always 100% true every single time. Now, many religions claim to have prophecies. The Bible isn't the only book in the world that claims to have prophecies. Many religions do, but they are nothing like biblical prophecy. They're vague, they're generalized, they're contradictory, and they have nothing specific. They're like star signs. You know, if you've ever read star signs in the past before, they are so general that they can happen to anyone. Now, you're going to meet someone new today. How many of you met someone new today? Well, maybe you didn't, but the chances are that you did. It's just so broad, so general, it's just meant to fool anyone and everyone. It's just a matter of chance. But the Bible is far superior and far more provable. The Bible mentions specific names of people that will be born in the future. The Bible, it mentions exact locations. The Bible mentions detailed events that could easily be proven false if they were wrong, because the Bible is so specific, even hundreds and thousands of years before they existed or occurred. And the entire life of Jesus Christ has been written in the Old Testament before he came to this earth. And this evening I've given on in your notes 16, only 16 out of the 191, 16 prophecies surrounding Christ's death, written between 700 and 1000 BC in the Old Testament and then fulfilled in the New. So every one of these 16 points has an Old Testament reference and then the New Testament fulfillment. Now, as you know, these events are familiar, so we won't look up every verse. But point number one, we know that he rode a donkey into Jerusalem. And Zechariah foretold in chapter 9, verse 9, that he will come riding upon a colt, a foal of an ass, and he will be riding upon that animal into Jerusalem. And in point number two, he was betrayed by a close friend, Psalm 41. Point number three, he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. These are very specific prophecies. Would you agree that they're very different from star signs? These are detailed, accurate statements. And if these were not fulfilled, then the Bible could easily be proven to be false, made up, and ridiculous. But to the contrary, each of these prophecies were fulfilled exactly to the last detail. Point number four, the money that was given to Judas, he gave back to the priest because he felt so guilty, and he threw it into the temple. And after Judas hanged himself, they bought a field, the religious Jews, with that money. And Zechariah foretold that already in the Old Testament, chapter 11 and verse 13. He did not answer his accusers. Isaiah foretold that. He was slapped and spit upon. Have a look at Isaiah chapter 50 with me for a moment. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6. The Bible says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. The messianic prophecies in the Old Testament are exactly fulfilled in the New Testament. The Bible tells us that the Romans beat him, slapped him, mocked the Lord, and spat upon him. Point number seven, he was wounded and bruised for our iniquities. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Notice Isaiah chapter 53 while we're there in verse number 5. The Bible says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. These are wonderful passages in Isaiah chapter 53. You could just show someone this chapter alone and prove from the Old Testament that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The Bible is the Word of God, and the prophecies have been exactly fulfilled to the letter. His hands and feet were pierced. He was wounded and bruised. Point number 7 and 8. They're the beatings and the detailed crucifixion. In point number 8, Psalm 22, verse 16 says that they pierced my hands and feet. Now, when the psalmist wrote this psalm, it was over 1,000 years before crucifixion was ever invented. The Roman Empire did not exist. The horrific form of execution known as crucifixion had not even been invented. And the Bible says, this messianic prophecy declares that they pierced my hands and feet. Not just one hand, both hands. Not just one foot, both feet. Very specific regarding the crucifixion. His clothes were gambled over. Psalm 22, verses 17 and 18 says, I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots. Amazing. Unbelievable. They cast lots upon my vesture or upon my clothing. I remember when I first got saved, one of my workmates said, "How can you tell the Bible is God's word? Every religion says their book is the word of God." I said, "Have you ever heard about prophecy before?" And I was learning these things in church, and I had a list of verses like this, and I basically sat down with him one day in a park. I took out my big Bible, and we went just verse by verse, Old Testament, New Testament. I put some bookmarks in there, and he didn't get saved, but it was the first time he heard these things. And I know God's working in his heart. And some of your friends may not yell at you, may not reject you, they may want to listen. And let me encourage you to be ready to give an answer. File these notes away in your folders and start collecting them. So if you ever need something to go to, you can say, "Hey, here's some verses that will help." And these are just 16. Notice point number 10. He was given vinegar to drink. 11, he prayed for his persecutors. Verse 12, his side was pierced with a spear. Point 13, his bones were not broken. Point 14, there was darkness at noonday. Point 15, he was buried in a rich man's tomb. If you're still there in Isaiah, have a look at Isaiah 53 and verse number 9. Isaiah 53 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "And he made his grave with the wicked." So that means he was crucified with criminals, with sinners. Remember who was either side of him? Why did the Romans put two criminals either side of Christ? That's right. Because he became sin for us. So there was a criminal, and there was the innocent Lamb of God who became sin for us, who bore our sins. The Bible tells us, notice Isaiah 53, verse 9, "And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death." He was buried in a rich man's tomb. We know that that's where he was taken to be buried. And the word of God foretells, point 16, that he ascended up into heaven, Psalm 68, verse 18. So as you look at these verses from the Old and then compare them to the New Testament historical events, they match exactly. And the prophecies of the Bible have been given to prove the word of God to be true. In fact, God said in the Old Testament, if a prophet does not tell the truth, he needs to be stoned. He's a liar. And you can tell that my word is true by seeing it fulfilled and it come to pass. So these prophecies prove that not only is the Bible God's word, but Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is God. God come to earth in the flesh, the Son of God, who died on the cross to pay for our sins. So I trust that some of these verses are helpful to just add to your notes. Now, just to end our little study this evening, I'd like to share with you three objections that often people make, because there are objections. There are certain answers that people can object to these prophecies with. And here's one. Someone might say, well, these so-called prophecies were written at the time of Christ or after these events. So they wrote what's in the Old Testament after Christ. You can't prove the Old Testament was written beforehand. It was probably written afterwards, and they wrote it in and said, well, look, that's a prophecy. How can you prove it was written before Christ? Well, the Old Testament historically was completed in 450 BC. 450 BC. Now, if someone doesn't want to believe that, you can share with them what I've put in light grey in your notes, just a little historical fact. You know, the Greeks, as the Apostle Paul declared when he was in Athens, remember what he wrote? He said the Athenians are religious nutcases, you know? They are so religious, so fanatical about religion, they wanted to know everything and anything that is new under the sun. Now, those are not the exact words of the Bible, but that's what Paul said. He said they wanted to know everything. That's why they listened to him. And they said, who's this babbler? What new strange truth? That's right. Is he bringing before us? And the Greeks had always been that way, always wanting to know what different faiths believed
and they were very intellectual, as you know. And one day, they asked the Jews for a copy of their Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. And what they did, they created something we call the Septuagint, there in your notes, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. Now, it's recorded historically that during the reign of Ptolemy Philadelphus, between 285 and 246 BC, this Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament Bible was initiated. Now, with those dates in mind, it's obvious if a translation from the Old Testament Hebrew into the Greek, for the Greeks to understand, the Jews' Old Testament Hebrew Bible, for them to understand, was initiated in those dates, well, then you have at least 250 years between the translation of the Old Testament and the birth of Christ. You have that time gap. So if anyone says, well, they wrote after the event, that's not true. That's not true at all. The Old Testament was written long before Christ came to the earth. Well, here's another objection, number two. The so-called fulfilled prophecy of Jesus was orchestrated by his followers to copy verses in the Old Testament. They might say, well, Jesus knew the prophecies, okay, they were written before him, so what did he do? He tried to orchestrate them himself and his believers. So they made him ride into Jerusalem in a donkey because, you know, Zechariah had foretold it. That's easy to orchestrate. So they copied these things. You see? Now that sounds reasonable. It does. It does sound reasonable. But it's impossible. It's impossible because of the number of prophecies and details that have been given, because many of these events were completely outside of the human control of Christ or his disciples. Remember these prophecies we've just looked at. One of them is that his side was pierced. Would you agree that's outside of the control of Christ? He had died on the cross. His disciples were in hiding, and the Romans took a spear and pierced his side. They could have broken his legs, which was the practice to see if a crucified individual was dying or to make them die, break their legs. They would die sooner. But they didn't do that. They chose to pierce his side. We don't know why, but that's what they did. That was outside of the control. These were the Romans that beat him, that whipped him, that scourged him with the cat of nine tails. These are the ones that chose the method of crucifixion. Pilate could have said, drown him. Sure. He was in control. We know that the Lord was in control. But he could have said, drown him. He could have said, drag him behind a chariot for 10 kilometers. He could have said all sorts of horrific things. But the Bible says he was pierced. His hands and feet were pierced in the Old Testament. So that was fulfilled in the New. So if someone says he orchestrated it, you can say, well, there were too many prophecies outside of the human control of Christ or the disciples for that to even be an excuse. Darkness at noonday. Well, that's outside of anyone's control. So there are plenty of answers to questions like that. We just need to sometimes think them through. If you get stumped and someone asks you a question, as I've always said, tell them, can I come back to you with an answer? I just need to look up a few things, and can we meet again at another time? If they're really open and interested, then they will meet with you. Don't get too frustrated if you can't think of every answer to every question, because it's good for us to grow, good for us to learn, but we won't always remember the right answer. You won't have this folder with you, probably, when you're witnessing and carrying it with you and looking it up. Or you may not have the resources you need, but if you need resources, come and see us. There's plenty of great material online from churches of like faith. But these are some condensed helps. But always ask that person if you can come back for another visit or meet with them at another time and then do a little bit of research. But here's a third doubt or objection, that these prophecies and their fulfillment were just simple coincidence or an accident. Now, it's possible that some of these prophecies, you could find their fulfillment in a couple of other men or individuals in the Bible, but not all of the prophecies. Absolutely not. That is impossible for all 191 messianic prophecies to be fulfilled by accident. In fact, there are 29 Old Testament prophecies, and I often like to say this, 29 that were fulfilled in one 24-hour period of the Lord Jesus Christ's death. One 24-hour period, 29 specific prophecies were fulfilled. Now, the chance of that happening by coincidence is 1 in 10 to the power of 17. Now, here's a little illustration which is quite compelling. Imagine if you spread 100, and I looked it up how to describe this figure in your notes. Imagine if you spread 100 quadrillion dollar coins out across the state of Queensland along the ground, and it would cover approximately one foot in depth if you covered the state of Queensland, and if it was flat, which it's not, but the state of Queensland with $1 coins all across the state, 1 foot deep, 100 quadrillion dollar coins. And before you actually begin, mark one of those coins, just one, with a red X, and then place it down. Then ask a stranger to ride blindfolded in a helicopter over the state. Tell him he can parachute out wherever he chooses, and when he hits the ground, his goal is to pick up that dollar coin with the X on it. He has the same amount of chances to find that coin as these prophecies being fulfilled any other way but by Jesus Christ. There is no chance that these prophecies could be fulfilled in any other man than the one whom has been declared. There is no chance. That's the point of this silly illustration. There is no man that could fulfill these prophecies, and there is no chance. And that's the wonderful thing about Bible prophecy. We've heard about Bible prophecy before, but specifically about Christ, you can look at some very simple, clear prophecies in the Bible that show that He is the fulfillment. Jesus Christ is prophecy. He is the Lord and He is the Savior. So let me encourage you to store away some of these truths to help in the next conversation you might have with someone who asks the reason of the hope that is in you.